Job. Thank you, Lord. Woo, and welcome baby Trey into the world, into church for the first time, wherever he is. There he, he's not in there, but Donovan Antonio Parker the third. Come on. You can just call him Trey. All right, there we go. That'll make it easy. Congratulations, you guys. So excited. Can't wait to hold that baby. Woo, how you guys doing? Thank you, Jesus. I'm just getting wrecked. Are y'all ready to go up?
Yeah.
We're already going up the mountain. And this morning we're talking about the new covenant in his blood. I like this analogy, so just bear with me. I'm going to call it OS Mount Zion. Operating system Mount Zion. Lord, won't you download on our hard drive this operating system of your spirit. Like Sarah said, the school of the spirit, Lord, teach us how to dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. Teach us how to dwell in your spirit realm, God. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your covenant with us. Why don't we just sing this together? Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Come on, sing it to them. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. You're so beautiful, Jesus. You're so marvelous, Jesus. Let's just take a minute just to look at his face. Close your eyes and see what you see. He's the marvelous one. He's the matchless one. And if you could put your hand right in front of your face, I would like to submit to you that he's just that close. He's here, and he's moving among us. Thank you, Jesus. That word of the realignment, the reset, the readjustment, that's real. God is doing a reappointment and an anointing for a season. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. It's just the hour and the day we live in. And as he's brought us through Abraham, Moses, David, Jesus died and signed a covenant. He sealed a covenant with his own blood that takes us now up the mountain to be with him. I want to get to that in just a second. I'm going to make this brief this morning. Help me, Lord. But I want to read just with you. I want to go through just a few verses. If you'll have your Bible ready to click on, to turn to. Start in Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. Let's just get a reminder. How many people love the scriptures? Man, I'm just so thankful for this love letter that Jesus left with me. That I can understand, that I can grapple with, that I can dive into, that I can receive from on a daily basis. And I want to set a groundwork here of what's going on here as we begin to ascend this mountain spiritually. 600 years. Is that a long time? 600 years, that's a pretty long time. 600 years before Jesus was born, a prophet named Jeremiah was prophesying under the old covenant, the covenant of the blood of bulls and goats and all that. You guys know it. He was prophesying from a time during the Babylonian captivity where the Jews of Judah had been taken away to a whole another land in Babylon. And like David, this man, Jeremiah, he could see something in the spirit realm. And God, may he open our eyes. May he open our eyes to see something. See, because we see a kingdom that can't be shaken. We have to be able to see something. I want to call all you mystics. I'm just going to say the word. All you mystical people out there in the kingdom realm, okay? I want to call you to ascend into his world. I want to call you to spend a focus and a time. Let your imagination, your sanctified imagination, let it be caught up in what God is saying and doing in his realm, heaven, okay? That we might understand how that impacts our realm on the earth. And this is like Jeremiah. He's seeing something. Are you with me? He's seeing something. 600 years. There's no possible way he could have known about this except by the Spirit of God. He said in verse 3, long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. How many know it's sometimes hard to read the Old Testament? You just don't feel like this picture of the Father is exactly conveyed in some of the very tragic and difficult stories of the Old Testament. But yet, this is really the Father's heart. This is who he has been all along. I've loved you with an everlasting love. And he said, the day is coming, says the Lord, when I will, this is down in verse 31, Jeremiah 31, 31. When I will make a new covenant. Everybody say new covenant. I'll make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. And this covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors. When I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, they broke that covenant, though I loved them as a husband loves his wife, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them. And I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. And they won't need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives saying, hey, you should know the Lord. For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already, says the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness and I will never again remember their sins. The Bible says that the glory of the Lord will cover the earth just as the waters cover the sea. I believe there's a day coming where the glory of God will be so rich that it's like you won't even need to tell somebody, hey, you need to know the Lord. It'll already be written on their hearts. Not all will receive that, but they'll know about it. They'll know that this is the truth, that there is something solid, there is something secure, and it's called the love of God. They'll be looking for and seeking after it. Because in Scripture, there's both a near and a far application of the prophetic word of the Lord. So we know Jeremiah's prophesying through most of this about what came with Jesus, right? A new covenant in his blood. But this part down here really struck me. But you won't even need to tell your neighbor or teach your relatives. Do all your neighbors know the Lord? Mine don't. How about all your relatives? So ask the Lord about this. Like, what is this, Lord? This is just what I'm feeling is God saying, there is a day coming. My heart is for all people, that all flesh. My heart is that none should perish, but all would know the Lord. I want to submit to you that this is the power of the new covenant. This is the power of the blood covenant of Christ, is that his heart is for all people. Because here's the thing. This is the first thing out of this. Your Father has made an irrevocable covenant in his own blood with you. Tap your neighbor and say, that's you. He's made it with you. There's not words for this. A blood covenant is so significant. It's so powerful. It's so irrevocable. Not just the blood of animals as in the past, but the blood of God. The blood of the very Son of God. It came down and covered us all. That will endure through every circumstance of your life. Does anybody need a circumstance shift here? Does anybody need the blood? And I'm just like, I don't know, God. I plead the blood. I don't know, Lord. I just need the blood of Jesus. That's a great prayer. Because the blood of Jesus covers, as Patrick said, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's Romans 8:28. Here's the main point in the writer of Hebrews. This is all about the new covenant. Hebrews 8:1. It says this. Here's the main point. We have a high priest who sat down in the place of honor beside the throne of the majestic God in heaven. There he ministers in the heavenly tabernacle, the true place of worship that was built by the Lord and not by human hands. Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really good news if you really meditate on that. This is the main point. We have a high priest.
Yeah.
You have a high priest. He's already paid the price. There's now no longer anything more for you to do than just to love him. Jesus, we love you. Just keep your focus. Just keep your gaze. Down in verse 6 of Hebrews 8. But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood. For he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. If the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need for a second covenant to replace it. But when God found fault with the people, he said, and then it goes back to Jeremiah 31, 31. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. You see, so the author of Hebrews in the New Testament quotes what we read a minute ago, Jeremiah 31, 31, and that whole narrative of this is the deal now. This is the deal if you're in the South, y'all. This is the deal, you guys. This is the deal is there is a better covenant.
Yeah.
It's a blood covenant. And I think we can just never get enough of that. Couple more scriptures. And then I just want to pray this over us. Of course, we know in Luke 22, starting in verse 14. Now, Jesus did this the night before his execution. Okay, so he was killed on Friday, right? And he was doing this on Thursday evening. This is in Luke 22, a parallel passage. It's my favorite, John 14, 15, 16, and 17. All those are kind of like Jesus' last will and testament. It's like your final words. If you knew you were going to die tomorrow, what would your final words be to your children and your grandchildren? What would you want to leave with them? And so when the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. For I tell you now, he says, that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup of wine, gave thanks to God for it, and he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread, gave thanks to God for it, broke it in pieces, gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this is the third cup in the Seder, right? This is the cup of redemption. Pamela and I are talking about how we can do a Passover meal here, set up tables and chairs right before the Good Friday. Those coincide this year, the Passover and the Easter weekend. How many people have ever done that before? Like a Seder, a Jewish Passover meal? So many haven't. The context is amazing. And the way that Pamela can lay it out is you see all through that, the Afikoman. You see the three parts of the Trinity. You see all these things brought together until it culminates into a mighty resurrection, a revealing of Jesus. And this is the Last Supper isn't just having dinner. Y'all get that? This is the Passover meal. And it's the sacred thing they're doing right before he goes to the cross. How powerful is that? And this is what he's saying. This cup, the third cup of the Passover Seder, it is the cup in the new covenant between God and his people. An agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. In John 14, that parallel passage, probably right before he took that cup, you know, he's got one of his 12, Philip, kind of like, well, just show us the Father, Jesus. And Jesus says, if you've seen me, You've seen the Father. And I believe in this season, the Lord is enabling us to come to a greater level of understanding of what, who the Father is and what His love for us is like. I think that the worship this morning is a perfect example of that. It's, he is jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy, glory and mercy. And that second song that we did, the river song. Elizabeth, did you write that? No. Who wrote that song?
Joel Case.
Man, I had never heard that song before. And oftentimes it's hard to enter in on a song that you'd never heard before. But that thing was just so amazing what God is doing. And so this week, one night, I had sort of a disturbing dream. And the details of the dream are not that important for this context, but when I woke up the next day, I got up early and I was praying and asking the Lord about the dream. And He said, "Matthew, why don't you just close your eyes for a minute?" And so I'm like, I close my eyes and I could just feel the Father like right here. He said, "This is how close I am to you. The love of the Father has always pursued you, and the love of the Father is what's needed for this situation that you dreamt about." And I just began to go back, and then I turned in my Bible to Mark 2 and John 1 and 2 and 3, and I just began to read about the everything that I saw in Jesus, every thought, every attitude, every demonstration of power, every act of love, all of these things was a revealing of the Father. Isn't that powerful? And He said, the world can be shaken, but the Father's kingdom is a kingdom that can never be shaken.
Yeah, that's good.
It is a realm that has no, well, I wonder if it's this or I wonder if it's that. And as I've continued to pray throughout the week, and I want you to come up here and share that song, kind of jumping around in my notes, but as I began to pray throughout the week, and kind of try not to watch the news, but yet watch the news, you know, and wonder like, Father, is it this or is it that? Is it that way or is it this way? Do I pray for this or do I pray for that? And it's kind of like the angel appearing to Joshua. Yes or no. Yes, but go in this might of yours, in the power of God, you know, the mighty angels of heaven. And so I just began to ask for the mercy of God and the truth and the righteousness that reigns from heaven to be revealed in the earth. And because it's like one of my spiritual fathers, Jim Hill, said, he goes, you know, in the world, it's getting harder and harder to find absolute truth. Has anybody ever noticed that? It's like, gosh, with the media and all this, it's like, well, what actually is true? Like, where is Walter Cronkite at? You know, like, I don't know. Maybe Walter Cronkite. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, where are the good old days where, like, when things are reported, we know this is true? And, you know, what is actually true? Well, the Father knows what's true. Amen. And the Father sent His Son and said, He is the way, the what?
Truth.
The truth, yeah. And the life.
That's right.
We have truth and it's a person. Mm-hmm. You know, and we were chatting about Psalm, you were telling me about Psalm 25. I just wanted you to share that.
So I read this toward the beginning of this week because I was in that same place of like, is this true? Is this true? And then also the world just offers us things that are just, and are offering our kids things that are not true.
Right.
It's just not true. It's not their identity. It's not who God's created them to be. Mm-hmm. And it's like, Lord, we need to be bathed and saturated in your truth. And I love when I read this. This is Psalm 25:4. And I would encourage you just to let this just saturate you, because I like to be rooted and grounded. I like to be established. And that's why I loved this. It says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths." Okay, he has paths. "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, and on you I wait all the day." And I read, it has this word wealth in my Bible. This is what I loved. It takes that where it says, "Lead me in your truth." That word truth is certainty, stability, truth, righteousness, trustworthiness. Emet derives from the verb amen, meaning to be firm, permanent, and established. It conveys a sense of dependability, firmness, and reliability. Truth is therefore something upon which a person may confidently stake his life. Mm. And that's what I was telling Matthew. I was like, this is where we have to park our hearts.
Yeah.
This is where we to stay.
Yeah.
Is that, "Show me your ways, O Lord." Yes. "Teach me your paths." He has pathways that he wants to bathe our hearts and minds in.
God.
He wants us to know his ways. He wants to show us his pathways and lead us in his truth and teach us. And then we can wait on him all day and look to him. And he wants to give us that. We can obtain that. We can be rooted. We can be established. We can be secure in that.
Yeah, that's so good. Why don't you pray that right now?
Yeah.
Who's feeling that right now? Like, I need something sure. Mm-hmm. I need something stable. Yeah. I need God to just solidify something in me so I don't feel like tossed to and fro, like this wave that goes back and forth.
Yeah. And Lord, I just ask you right now that you would wash our minds.
Yes, God.
That you would wash our hearts by the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over us right now.
Yes.
We draw a line in the sand around each one of our families, around our households, around our properties.
Yes.
We just say the blood, we plead the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
And we ask you for your washing over our hearts, over our minds, over every entryway into our lives. Over our TVs, over our mail, our email, our text messages, over every social media, which, by the way, sometimes you just need to cut it for a little while. Just saying. And Lord, I just ask you that you would wash over our hearts and our minds, Lord. Renew our hearts, renew our minds with your truth, Lord. We thank you that your truth and your ways are establishing that we can stake our lives on your truth. And so, Lord, we're asking you to show us your ways.
Yes.
Lord, reveal your truth in our hearts and our minds, Lord. And lead us in your ways that are everlasting, Lord.
Yes, God.
Search our hearts and know our hearts. Lord, if there's anything in us that is not of you, Lord, I ask you that you would reveal it to us, expose it, and take it out, Lord, and that you would lead us in your way that is everlasting. Lord, I pray for everybody's minds, Lord, that they would be, that the pathways of truth, Lord, that you would just keep our minds, keep our thoughts, Lord, that you would take our thoughts captive, that you would show us those thoughts that are not true, and that we could say, go, and that we could line ourselves up with your truth, Lord, and the pathways of your truth, Lord, that you would do that in our brains right now. Lord, this is real. It's real.
Yes,
there's pathways
Jesus.
That you want for us to go that would be our go-to, like our default would be toward truth. Lord, your truth, that your word would bathe our hearts and minds. That we would be anchored in your truth and we would be, you would lead us in your way in peace and joy, and that there would be no anxiety and no fear in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Yeah, don't be afraid to get caught up. I just feel like the Lord's saying that.
Yeah.
The church has taught a lot of negative things against the spirit world, believe it or not. And it's not the Bible. Don't be afraid to just meditate. You know, God invented meditation. Did y'all know that? That's actually originated. King David made it a very common practice of repeating scriptures. It's not emptying your mind. It's filling your mind. Filling your mind with God and the words of God. Fill your mind. 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 And then things begin to happen. Things go from here to here. The 18-inch journey from the mind to the heart. Things begin to take place. Hebrews 9, verse 11. Two more passages I feel like he has for us today. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world, with his own blood, not the blood of goats, and calves. He entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they had committed under that first covenant. Last, Hebrews 12:18. See, your father not only has made a covenant with you, but he's made a covenant with you that is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Amen. It's already been said, but a kingdom that cannot be shaken. If you want something to meditate on this week, take that little phrase out of Hebrews. It's a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Here it is in the context of the passage, Hebrews 12:18. You have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire. Now, do y'all remember the Israelites back with the Mosaic Covenant? They came there, they were scared to death, and I don't blame them. Because there was fire, smoke, darkness, arrows. I mean, it was a scary place. But you know, we have no reason to fear. Because he's saying, you have not come to that. And a whirlwind, as the Israelites did at Mount Sinai. For they heard an awesome trumpet blast and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. Can you imagine begging God, please don't speak anymore? They staggered back under God's command. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. See, I don't blame them. I mean, if that's God's command, yeah, like, I'm good. But Moses himself was so frightened at the sight that he said, I am terrified and trembling. And if I'm behind Moses and he's scared, I'm definitely not going up. Like, if Mo is scared to go up there, no, thank you. No, you've not come to Mount Zion. No, sorry. No, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. Do you remember the angels? Talked about those last week. Some messengers came one Sunday. There was angels access, heavenly access, kingdom access, open heavens. 2022 is a year of open doors, open access. And then at the Parkers, the keys of revelation, right, Tracy? These keys of revelation. You see, this is real. This is real for the spiritual mindset. Do y'all believe in angels?
Yeah.
Is that controversial? I mean, even Billy Graham wrote a book on angels. You gonna argue with Billy Graham? You can. I mean, you can argue with anybody. Heresy hunters are a dime a dozen on the internet. Just look it up. They'll find something wrong with something. I'm just... Lord, have mercy. Let us all dive into what God is saying, what he has for us. Because here's the thing, y'all. We haven't come to Mount Sinai. We've come to Mount Zion. Your inheritance is not Mount Sinai. It's not trembling and fear and trepidation. You see, that's what I think all that stuff on the internet is trying to get you to do. It's trying to get you to be afraid of something. It's trying to get you to shrink back from something. It's trying to say, hey, just follow the rules. You'll be safe. Just keep it within these boundaries. And I'm saying, God, have mercy. Because he's given us access to go up the mountain. It's called Mount Zion. Did I get that YouTube video on there, Eric? Is that on the playlist or not? It is? All right, hit play on that. I just want y'all to hear the beginning of this. You know it. I've played it before. Since we received a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear. Did you plug in the aux cable? For our God is a devouring fire. Turn that up a little bit. Maybe not. It's not just where our eternal inheritance is heaven. But we don't have to wait for that. We don't have to wait for that. Heaven is now. Heaven is here. His name is Jesus. You see, there's the first, second, and third heavens. The third heaven is the place where only God lives. There's only goodness, righteousness, joy, and mercy. The first heaven is the natural realm. What we can see and experience with our five senses. And what Jesus' body did is he removed the hindrance between those two realms. And that's our inheritance. Why is God saying this? Because it's so key for the world that we live in now. It's so important that we learn we're citizens of another kingdom. Our passports might be stamped with the USA or whatever nationality you are. But your primary passport says Kingdom of Heaven.
That's right.
It's an important access. We all, not just the prophet or the preacher, we all need to learn that we have received this not because of how good we are, but because of how powerful his blood is, and that as sons and daughters now, we can see the realms of heaven. We can access those things for ourselves, for our family. We can stay in the realm of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Even if the world were falling down around us. Think about Jesus as we get ready to go into the Easter season. Is that not just exactly what he exemplified? How did he do that? John 14 through 17. Those chapters, that's how he did it. He did it because he knew his Father. He could sense his presence. He knew that he was always with him. Now, I mean, he sweat some drops of blood. I'm not saying this is easy, but I'm saying he's with us. Gas is $4. $5, I don't know, whatever it is. He's with us. There's war in Europe. He's with us. Finally, masks are coming off. He's with us. This person that you love passed away. He's with us. The grief that you've experienced, he's with us. Jesus never said, you won't go through hard times. He said, don't have fear because I've overcome all of that. His kingdom is a kingdom that can't be shaken. And it's growing, y'all.
That's right.
It's growing. We've been at gatherings with young people. It's growing.
Yeah.
There's an unusual thing.
Yeah.
It's growing out there. It's just, that's all I can say. The kingdom is growing like that mustard seed parable. It's growing. The glory of God is growing.
Yes.
It's settling. But unless you believe it, number one, and step in as a son and daughter and say, I'm worthy by the blood of the Lamb. We can miss it. We can miss it. Just like the most learned religious scholars of the day, they not only missed Jesus, they killed him. Right?
Yeah.
Is that not the truth?
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. They had memorized the Bible of the day. They knew it, but they missed it. Like, look, that's the only way that we can be kept out of just this peace and joy, this truth that the psalmist wrote of, is just staying just soaked in Him under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? All right, you guys stand with me. Are you guys all right?
Yes.
You don't feel fussed at, do you?
No.
Okay, good. Because I really want to encourage you. I want to encourage all of us. This is very, very real. And it applies to everything. It applies to your business. It applies to your education. It applies to your kids. It applies to your classroom. It applies to your finances. It applies even to the car you drive. I mean, the kingdom is all-encompassing. And God really is for us.
Yeah,
He's not against us. He really is for us, for goodness and mercy to follow us every single day.
Amen.
Even when your car breaks down,
mm-hmm,
or your dog dies.
Yeah.
He's still with us. His goodness is for us. In this world, He said, you will have trouble. But fear not, for I have overcome the world. Do y'all believe that?
Yeah.
You remember the covenant He made with Abraham to bless him, to make his name famous and prosperous? It's here. This is what we're talking about. It's really the same covenant. This is the same covenant. It's like it's not the new covenant. It's the covenant continued. It's the same covenant. So Holy Spirit, we just receive. Lord, like kids on Christmas morning, we just thank you for a Father who gives good gifts. Lord, that you came down from heaven and you touched us. Lord, you anointed us by your blood so that we can arise, Lord, so that we can go up the mountain. That what the Israelites missed out on, God, Lord, that's our inheritance. Lord, that we can feast on those blue pavement that you had up there, Lord, the heavenly realm. We can feast on those things. And I pray, God, that even as life's circumstances challenge us this week, Lord, I pray that you would remind our hearts supernaturally that we can enter in, that we can meditate upon the goodness of God, that we can stand on what you've said, Lord. Lord, we just thank you and praise you today, God, for all that you've done. All that you're doing, let your glory continue to arise over our church, God. Over our city. Over our campuses. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
So as we go, I think one key that the Lord gave us this morning was there's power in our tongues. We can speak life or death. And so I just pray that the Lord would remind us of that this week, whatever we face, that we would remember, Lord, give us your truth in the moment and give us the power of the prayers to pray and declare. And Lord, keep a close rein on our tongues that we might speak life, not death. In Jesus' name, Lord, bless you, keep you, let His face shine upon you, give you peace and rest, and you shall go out with joy. In Jesus' name, amen.